Psalm 4 and verse 8, these words before us. Psalm 4 verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And our subject this morning is a superior safety. A superior safety, that is what we will consider this morning, the safety really that only God can give. Well, this is a tremendous psalm of David. We read in the title, a psalm of David. David, of course, we all know well, or we should all know well, King David, the son of Jesse, the father of Solomon, the slayer of Goliath, the Philistine, godly King David, writer of so many of the Psalms. And David is a glorious and a great figure in the Old Testament, a great type indeed of the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is one of his many Psalms. Now, it is not entirely clear when in David's life this psalm is written, but perhaps we are on the right track if we link this psalm to the preceding psalm, the psalm that comes before it, to Psalm 3, which is also a psalm of David. And we read in Psalm 3, or the title of Psalm 3, a psalm of David when he fled from Absalom, his son. Well, when David was king, his own son Absalom rose up against him. And that was a terrible thing. Absalom, his own son, tried to establish himself as the king. And the people were with him. Many of the people were with Absalom, and they revolted against David. And David had to flee. And so it was a time of danger and much sadness, of course, for King David, that he had to fear for his life because of his own son. That is what Psalm 3 is about. And many people connect Psalm 4 to it. And perhaps that is the correct way of doing it, because there appears to be a great continuation of themes. One of the connections that we see in Psalm 3, for example, is in verse 5 of Psalm 3. I laid me down and slept. I awaked, for the Lord sustained me. And many people say, well, this is the psalm for the morning. David is speaking of when he awakes, he praises God. He gives God thanks, for the Lord has kept him safe. When he arises first thing in the morning, and this is a good practice for all of us, we give God thanks. The Lord has sustained me. That's Psalm 3. And then in Psalm 4, we get the evening psalm. Psalm 3 is the morning for when you awake, but Psalm 4 is for the evening when you go back to bed. Psalm 4 verse 8, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So you see the connection there. This is what many people point out. Psalm 3 is the morning psalm, when David is praising God as soon as he awakes, and Psalm 4 is the evening psalm. There's the connection. When David goes and lays himself down and retires at the end of the day, again, he is giving thanks to God. So many people, I hope I haven't spent too much time, they give that connection between Psalms 3 and 4, and perhaps that is the right way to look at this psalm. But what is most surely a common theme between the two psalms is the great trust that David has in his God. The great trust, the great security that he feels in his God. And this is expressed here in this eighth verse of Psalm 4. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And this is going to be our subject this morning. Safety, a superior safety. Well, safety, of course, is a great priority for all of us. For for every single one of us. Safety is so very important, particularly in the modern world, even before this current situation. I'm not applying it to this time of crisis particularly, but safety is paramount. Safety in every part of our lives. Well, you know this very well. Everywhere we go to must be very safe. Health and safety. It's one of the great features of modern life. Health and safety everywhere. Safety in the workplace. Safety on the way to work. On public transport. If you're taking the bus. If you're riding your bike. Cycle lanes. They're marked out for maximum safety. Everywhere has to be safety. You go to a sports event, you go to the theatre, there are all sorts of safety precautions in place, where all the fire exits are and so on. Even online, on the internet, as you've probably come to know in recent weeks, everything is about safety on the internet. I've very often had many problems with passwords recently, because when I try to put a password for myself or to create a password for myself, they keep telling you it's not safe enough. Your password isn't safe enough. You have to do this and you have to put an exclamation mark or a capital letter or numbers. Everything is about safety. It's not enough just to have a password. It has to be a safe password. Safety is so very important nowadays in the world outside, on the internet and so on. Any new building that is built nowadays has to conform to all the safety requirements. Any old buildings, you know, they renovate old buildings now to comply with modern safety requirements. This is an old building. It stood for many years. We have to redo it. We have to rebuild it. Because it has to be made safer. Safety. Well, all these things, new inventions and so on, I could go on for many, for a long time. We think of the controversy concerning many things that are unsafe. 5G, for example, that's been very controversial. People have been protesting against it. Why? Because it's not safe. Is it safe? How safe is 5G? You see how important this issue is of safety in today's society. And of course, while we think about the present situation, this is why we have this lockdown. This is why everything has been closed, because it's not safe to go outside. Nothing else would close the modern world, the Western world. The Western world wouldn't close down for anything, but because things are not safe, that has the power to lock everything down, to close everything down. Safety is paramount in this world. And while this teaches us a lot about the society in which we live in, what does it teach us about society? Well, yes, we're very careful. That's a good thing. But perhaps it teaches us this as well. We're very fearful. We're a very fearful society. We're fearful of injury. We're fearful of coming to any harm. We're very fearful of death. That is very clear when you look at the society nowadays. It's, it's quite interesting, because many people you speak to, or many people I've spoken to, they will try to insist, I'm not afraid of death. I'm not afraid of dying. Of course not. But, well, look at the society around us. Why are there so many safety measures? Everything has to be entirely safe. This doesn't look like a society that's not afraid of death. It looks like a society that is very afraid of death. And in fact, well, it seems that the fear of death, well, it's always been in the world, but it's only increased. The fear of death has steadily increased. People don't even want you to speak about death anymore. That's how scared we are of it. We have become increasingly scared of death. The fear of death has not gone away. It's decreased. It's increased, rather. And that is why safety, well, when you see a society in which safety has become the overriding factor of everything, well, it reflects a fear of death. But the problem, of course, is that even despite man's best efforts, we are never entirely safe. That's the great irony. Even though we put all these measures in place, well, we're not able to eradicate accidents. You put all these safety measures on the public transport or on the roads. There are still road accidents. You put all these precautions in the schools, for example. You still get accidents in schools and so on. No matter how safe you try to make the world, there are still accidents. There are still incidents. There are still tragedies. There are still catastrophes. Why is that? Well, because these things are beyond man's control. Man cannot make himself entirely safe. He cannot, because we are limited. We are finite. There are things in this world, in this universe, that we cannot possibly control. That is why we cannot make ourselves entirely safe. Again, we think of the coronavirus. There will be many measures in the coming days, in the many weeks ahead. You will see all kinds of weird and wonderful safety measures. But we can't make ourselves entirely safe. Of course not. We don't have that power. This virus, isn't it obvious? It's beyond man's power. The nations, every nation since this virus appeared, has tried to make itself safe. But it's failed. Because we are limited. We are not all powerful. If we were all powerful, then of course we could make ourselves safe. But we're not all powerful. That is why David says in this psalm, we can only find safety in God. God is all powerful. God does have control over all things. This virus, it's too great for man, but it's not too great for God. God is all-powerful. That's why we cry to him. That's why Christians, in times of crisis, and particularly at this time, there's no point crying out to men. Men can't make you safe. It's God who is in charge of everything. We cry out to him, Lord, help us. Lord, keep me safe. No matter what you do in the coming days, masks, precautions, all these things, you must call to God for help. He is the only one who can keep you entirely safe. And dear friends, well, we've seen in our fellowship, in our church, he has kept our congregation safe, largely. He has kept us. And that's got nothing to do with us. Not because we've been wonderfully careful. It's because we've been crying out to God. Lord, help us. Lord, protect us. This is what David means here. Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. He is the only one, not men. Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. So, dear friends, we have to understand this. This is a very simple lesson from this psalm. Thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. And this is a glorious thing to consider. But of course, well, let's think again of this society, of this world. The great reason why there is no safety in this world, well, it's because of human sin. It's because of human sin. Now, of course, many people, they protest about this. We are not all sinners. I know what you're going to say, Pastor. You're going to launch in one of your rants and tirades about how we're all sinners. Isn't that a bit harsh? Isn't that all a bit negative? Isn't that completely untrue, that we're all sinners? Well, dear friends, when you look at this world and when you see how we react in this world, it's clear that we're all sinners. And we all know this. We all instinctively know this. Why do we lock our doors at night? Why do we have security? Why don't we leave our doors open every night? You can't leave your door open because you know somebody will come in and take everything you have. You know that people aren't kind. You are aware. You're very aware that people are sinners. You can't leave your door open. That's not safe. You can't let your child talk to a stranger. Why don't you let your child talk to strangers if we're all good people? If we're all wonderfully kind at heart, why don't you let all your children talk to anybody? Well, because we know that that's not the truth. We assume. We always assume it's safer to assume that people are going to harm your children. We know instinctively that people are not good at heart. That's why we put these safety measures in place. That's why we lock our doors. That's why we tell our children not to speak to strangers. Instinctively, we know that generally speaking, the truth about this world is that we are all sinners. And this is why this isn't a safe world. It's not a safe world because we are sinners. And this is what the scriptures say. We are never safe when human beings are around. We know that humans can harm us. Humans can deceive us. Why? Even when you're in your home, in lockdown, there have been an increase in scam callers, people ringing you up on the phone, trying to deceive you into doing this and doing that. You're not even safe in your own home. We are sinful. And this is why this world is not a safe place. The Lord Jesus Christ spoke about this, about the sinfulness of men, about the corruption of the human heart. Out of the human heart, the Lord said, proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said about the human heart. And he says we are all sinners. That's the teaching of Scripture. And that is why this world is not a safe place. If we are all sinners, if we are all born by nature that way, well, it's no wonder that this world is not a safe place. And this is why, dear friends, there's safety only in God. There is no sin in God. He is without sin. You can trust in him. God will not harm you. God will not rob you. God will not deceive you. God is loving. God is kind. God is full of mercy and grace. God is truth. You can trust him entirely. There is safety only in him. It is better to put your trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. Of course it is, because thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. This is why we trust in the Lord, because he is the holy God, because he is sinless, and we'll speak about that a little more a little later. But let us just look at the kind of safety that the Lord gives us as time runs on. What kind of safety does the Lord give us? And we have to spend a few times with this because people have the wrong idea about the kind of safety God gives us. People, well, sadly, some preachers even preach this. If you come to God, they tell you, well, you'll be free from any accident. You'll be free from any illness. You'll be free from any misfortune. Nothing bad will ever happen to you ever again. Because, this is the safety that God gives. And this is what people preach. But that's not right, dear friends. Yes, God delivers us from many things, but it's not right that we are spared from everything. I've known Christians, and I'm sure you have, Christians who have been involved in great accidents, Christians who have, they've been robbed, they've been mugged, I've known that, Christians who have spent long times in illness and sickness. We're not spared from that at all. In fact, the scriptures tell us that in this world, Christian people, we have to suffer many things. We suffer persecution. We suffer derision. We suffer hatred because of the sins of men, because of this wicked world. You look at the Bible. You look at how David was persecuted. You look at how the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, the apostles, they weren't given easy lives. They suffered persecution. They were imprisoned. They were stoned. They were beaten. And well, you may look at that and think, well, what kind of safety does God give us? If even the apostles had to suffer all these things, what kind of safety does God actually give us? Well, this is the kind of safety. It's a spiritual safety. A spiritual safety. This is safety for the soul, dear friends. And we spoke about the soul a little bit last week. The soul, how it is the most important part of you. The most important part of you, the soul. It is your personality, it is your character, your heart, your mind, your affections. That is the soul, the real you. You are not just a physical being. You are a spiritual being. There are two parts to you, and the soul is the most important part. And that is what God gives safety to. That is why we rejoice. You know, I was reminded when I was preparing for this, there was a time when somebody broke into our flat, not in this place, but in our previous place. And, well, they took some things, but the most important thing they didn't take. They didn't take our laptop for some reason. And our laptop was the most important thing. It had all our details, had all our sermons, my sermons on it. That was the most important thing. And when we saw our laptop there, well, we didn't mind about all the other things that had been taken, because the most important thing was still there. And dear friends, that's the same for us as Christian people. We don't mind being persecuted and hated. We don't mind if we have to go into trials and tribulations, because the most important thing about us is safe. God is preserving the most important thing about us. Our souls are safe. And that is the great comfort that we have as Christian people. And dear friends, I want to ask you all, how is your soul this day? The soul that is the most important thing about you. The soul is eternal. The soul is the only thing that you will take with you when you leave this life. Do you know that? Do you understand that and realize that? The soul is the only thing that you will take with you when you leave this world and pass into eternity. Everything else you will leave behind. Remember, we read from 1 Timothy what the Apostle Paul said. You came into this world with nothing, and it is certain that you can take nothing with you. It's only the soul that you take with you. That's the only thing. How safe is your soul, dear friends? When you leave this world, are you going to a safe place or are you going to an unsafe place? Maybe you've never thought about these things. You've thought about safety for your life, safety for your money, your bank account, safety for your home, safety for your family, but never safety for your soul. Dear friends, if you're without God, your soul is lost. That's what the scriptures say. And somebody who is lost is never safe. Somebody who's lost, you think of a lost child. A lost child is never safe. A child, when they are lost, well, after 2 hours, 3 hours, you start to fear very much for their safety. Is your soul lost, dear friends, without God? Oh, dear friends, your soul is lost without the Lord in this life. Your soul is unsafe. Your soul is being defiled without God by your own sin. You know, our sins, the sins that we have, they defile the soul. They pollute the soul. They poison, they war against the soul. That's what the scripture says. Your soul is not safe without God because it's being attacked every day by your own sin. Do you realize that? You're injuring your own soul every day you spend without God. Your soul is not safe in this life, and your soul is not safe for eternity. We leave this world, our soul goes where? You cannot be with God if you do not know Christ. If your soul still harbors sin, if it is a sin-sick soul, it cannot go to be with God. God is holy. Heaven is a holy place. If your soul is stricken with sin, it cannot be with God. Your soul must be washed, dear friends. Your soul must have its sins removed. And how are we going to do it? Well, it's through Christ. Of course, you must have your sin removed, and it's only Christ that can wash you in that way, in your inward parts. You can't do it. You can wash yourself outwardly. I remember once a brother was speaking to me about a religious person he met. I think he was a Muslim. And in Islam, they put much focus, much stress on outward washing to appear before God. But dear friends, outward washing is nowhere near enough. You've got to wash your heart. You've got to wash your soul. That's what God sees. How are you going to do that? It's only through Christ. Only Christ, the blood of Christ, washes us from all our sin. That's why Christ went to the cross. He went, he suffered, he died, and he shed his blood. Why? Because his blood was necessary. Only his blood, the blood of the only begotten of the Father, is sufficient to wash our souls from sin, so that we may be cleansed, so that we may appear before God without fear at the very end of our lives. Dear friends, we must trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Christ died. That's why Christ's safety was taken from him. That's why he was sent to the cross and punished by God the Father. He was suffering for our sins so that his atonement, his blood, would make our souls clean so that we may be accepted by God. This is the glorious gospel of Christ. So, dear friends, I ask again, how is your soul? How is your soul? Are you safe in Christ or are you unsafe? Are you unsafe this morning? Dear friends, people speak so much about the emptiness of life without God, and that's very true. There's a great emptiness of life without God. But can I add something else? There's a great uneasiness without God. There's a great emptiness, yes. There's a great uneasiness without God. You live your life in a very uneasy manner because you know you're not right with God. And you get very uneasy when you hear preaching like this, when you hear people speak to you about God and about Christ. You get uneasy. I've spoken to so many people. They don't like it because they're unsafe. Whenever you are unsafe, you are uneasy. Are you uneasy? Because you know you're not right with God. Dear friends, this is a great tragedy. Why would you remain uneasy? That uneasiness is only going to get worse. The closer you draw near to the end of your life, it will only get worse. And on your deathbed, well, how will you feel? How uneasy will you feel? How fearful? Dear friends, come to Christ. Come to Christ and you will be able to say, like David does here, I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Even on your final bed, even on your deathbed, you will be able to lay yourself down in peace because you know that your soul is safe in Christ. You know your soul will have safe passage to God because Christ has died for you. He has washed you, he has cleansed you of all your sin. Don't you want these words to be your words? I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. Dear friends, this is the way to peace. This is the way to joy. You know, this is the reason why so many people are anxious, why so many people have mental issues and problems and depressions. They don't know why. They go to psychiatrist after psychiatrist. Why do I feel like this? Why do I feel so afraid? Why do I feel so uneasy? Nobody can get to the bottom of it. This gets to the bottom of it. It's because you're not right with God. You come to the Lord, you will have that peace. You will have that safety. You will know joy and forevermore. And dear friends, this is the greatest thing. This is why this is a superior safety. God gives you safety, not just in this life, but for all eternity. This is true safety. This is what it means to be truly safe, to be safe forever. That is safety in its fullest sense, in its fullest definition. And you know, the illustration that came to my mind when I was thinking about this. Where is the safest place you have ever been? The safest place you have ever been. May I suggest something to you? The safest place that perhaps we have ever known in our lives, it's when we're little children. That's perhaps the time when we know the safest place. When we're little children and when we are in the arms of our parents. When you're in the arms of your father, when you're in the arms of your mother, doesn't a child, that's the only time when a little child feels entirely safe. Well, dear friends, that will be your state for all eternity if you trust in Christ. You will, as it were, be in the everlasting arms of God your Father. How strong they are, how powerful they are. God will never let you fall. These are loving arms, everlasting arms. And you will be so assured of his love for you. This is the God who sent his only begotten Son, who so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, dear friends, it will be the safest place for all eternity. Don't you want this? Superior safety? Oh, dear friends, why put your trust in this world? Can you not see so very clearly that the words of David ring so true? I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only God, only Christ, only the gospel, makest me dwell in safety. These are glorious words. May these words fill your heart with wonderful peace this day. May the Lord mightily bless us. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, how we thank thee for these glorious words that we read in the scriptures, that thou art the God who offers us true safety, eternal safety, that great security that we have in the gospel, in the Lord Jesus Christ, trusting in his shed blood. O Lord, bless us each one, that we may know that safety in our lives, that safety for our souls. O Lord, may we not reject thee, may we not have that uneasiness following us all the days of our lives, but Lord, may we know that goodness and mercy following us, that glorious joy and peace in believing. We ask all these things in our Saviour's name and for his sake. Amen.